find somebody. But you find that when you do finally get your help, and they're, maybe they got their disability check or something that you got back for them, or found some way to get it back for them, or get activated again, then they themselves, you know, tell you, there's anything I can do for you, let you know.
Right.
A lot of people we've had have leaflets for us and things like that. Besides, they want to hand you $5, and you know they're very, you know, small funds, and yet they say, no, I feel that I want to help this go on so that you can help another person. They themselves say, I want you to be able to help someone else.
Right. And do you remember that story you either read about or heard about when Caesar was organizing the union, and they started going around collecting the money for the death benefit plan? And it was raining, and remember that story?
Sure.
And it was raining, and he was waiting in the car outside this guy's house for him to come home. His wife had told him he's going to be home, and Caesar was sitting out there in the car. And as soon as the guy came home, and went inside, well, Caesar was right behind him, you know, knocking on the door, and the guy opened it. Caesar went in there, and the guy started shaking his head, and he said, I know what you want, Mr. Chai, I know what you want. And gee, I don't know, he said, and he pulls a $5 bill out of his pocket and says, this is all I've got, you know, this is Monday, and this is all I've got between now and Friday when I get paid. And I just don't know. And so, well, Caesar just had to make up his mind right then whether he was going to accept the money or not. And so finally he made up his mind. He kept thinking about it for about 30 seconds. And finally he just told the guy, he said, well, he said, I've been in that position a lot of times during the last year when I didn't even have $5 to last for 5 days. Well, I got a little bit more money, or somebody fed me, and my family, and yet I've had to keep going. And if we're going to build, if we're going to build La Causa, we all of us have to make the same kind of sacrifice. So I am going to have to take the money. And so the guy gave him $3.50 out of his $5 bill. And Caesar said it so many times afterwards that if he had given in right then and said, well, I understand your problem, I appreciate the fact that you don't have hardly any money, and maybe next week you'll have the money, that would have set a precedent. And from that time on, he would have been saying the same thing to everybody else, and pretty quick there wouldn't be any money coming in, there wouldn't be any death benefit, there wouldn't be any union. So we do have to, you know, get people to make a little sacrifice. If they want, you know, it's a quit in top out of qual thing.
You have to have a tight outline.
Yeah.
I mean, you really have to know exactly what you're going to say and how much you can say. You just have to have it. Because if you don't, you're going to, like, I went fishing around, like she said, and if you have something you can back it up with, and just keep coming so that everything is in its place.
Yeah, because some people can go to a meeting and have, like, maybe five points, and so many minutes for each point, and they just hit it right on, and they're good, you know, experienced speakers, and all you see them on a little piece of paper, and all they've got is five things written. I mean, how do you make a speech with five things? And I do.
Listen to this one. I got this letter from Caesar, August 7, 1962. That was when he was organizing the union. He says, you might be interested to know that the whole approach has changed somewhat since the beginning. In other words, the whole approach to organizing. This is what I tell the workers when we get together. I start out by thanking whoever's responsible for setting up the meeting, just like you've been doing. Also, those present for coming to the meeting. Also, tell them that this is not a union and that we are not involved in strikes. Also, make sure that they don't think I'm against the unions or strikes, but tell them that the way things have been handled by the unions makes me feel that unless they change their approach, they'll never get anywhere. I start by telling them that this is a movement, un movimiento, and that we're trying to find the solution to the problem. Here I throw in a little bit about the history of how agriculture developed in California. See, same thing we're going to be doing. And then start to mention that to them how the Chinese were the first farm workers in large numbers in California. Then I briefly trace the other groups that they brought to California, and to assure the growers will always have more than enough workers on hand. Here I ask them to keep in mind how there has always been more workers than work in California, and say that this has been our biggest problem. I trace the various groups till we come to the braceros. So he was doing this, you see, at all of his house meetings with the farm workers way back in 1962, well, 13 years ago. And then from here, he takes it, he's got it broken down now, you see. Like you say, he's tightened the whole thing up. He knows exactly what he's going to say. And then the next thing is he goes into the various attempts of the farm workers to organize, to improve their conditions and what happened and why it happened. And then he talks to them about legislation. He says, on legislation, if the workers are not taken into consideration and asked what they want, then the workers will not support any piece of legislation and people and will not want to work on any project. Well, that's the same thing with the old people. The history has been that the people who never see a potato grow are the ones who are always trying to help the workers by saying to them that you deserve so much per hour. And therefore, we are going to see that this certain minimum wage be introduced to help you. That always those trying to help never even care to know who the workers are, but feel that they are doing their part by telling the workers what they are worth. This, and then he tells us the census is then to find out from the workers directly who they are, where they live, their age, and above all, their opinion on what they feel the just minimum wage should be. And then he talks about the strikes and unions. And I then tell them how the workers have been getting together to form their own committees in many towns in the valley. Now, this is something that I forgot to hit hard on. I mentioned it, but I didn't really emphasize it. We want to get over the idea to the workers, to the older people, that this same program is going on all over the state, that there are organizers just like me, just like Tina, going around and talking to the older people all over California, all the way from Sacramento, Stockton, Fresno, and all the way up and down the state, and they're beginning to get together with the old people, so that they can begin to form the old people will feel a part of something, just like Caesar was doing, to make the workers feel that they are a part of something. See, that's this whole big movement statewide, and when they feel a part of something, they feel a sense of power, you know, right away. He says, I don't know how far they'll go when the association is formed, if it ever is, especially when the dues matter is brought up. I'm worried about the dues, but they brought it up anyway. See, then he says, those who have been more active, and this is a very important point, those who have been more active feel that we should have an association and that the dues should be enough to carry out the work of the group. We'll see what happens later on. So far, the meetings, I think, are interesting, and the response of those present seems very good. The Valleywide meeting will be held in Fresno. The date has been set for September 30th. See, he was building up toward that first meeting. But that's a very important point, that the most active are very anxious to pay the dues. They know they're already loyal. They've already given time and energy, you know, to the movement by passing out, going around all through the barrios and passing out these little cards that Caesar had, talking to the workers, getting them to sign the census cards and so on. But this, you see, was written August the 7th, and he'd been organizing since April. And he'd been changing his approach around until he finally hit on what he considered the very best approach, and that's the one he used from that time on.
Was he a good organizer to begin with, right away,
Caesar?
Or was he shy?
Well, he wasn't ever shy. He was quiet. Yeah. But when his interest was aroused, he wasn't quiet anymore. It came pouring out. Yeah. Yeah.
He went out also to the people and got to know them and what their needs were.
Yeah, right. Sure. Yeah, well, that's what he was doing. Here. Okay. what happened to all our chairs in our house meeting room?
They should have left the house meeting with that.
Took the chairs with them. Okay, you want, now we go back to number one, huh?
I'm a two.
I'm a two.
Who's a one?
I'm a two.
Okay.
Fred, did I miss one? Ron is gone? Before Tina was
together? No. Oh, weren't you here when she started giving hers? Oh. Yeah. Okay. We need two more chairs and three more people up here.
Figure that, well, perhaps, you know, they don't have to, like, worry about you know, our needs, Portuguese needs, okay, especially the elderly people who like to live, you know, in our communities and who do not have, who have not conditioned themselves into like thinking politically. Like, you know, I work for the United Farm Workers Service Center, and the whole history of our organization to like unite the poor United Farm, the poor farm workers in the state of California and throughout the Southwest came about because Cesar Chavez, who worked as an organizer, realized that the biggest problem poor people were confronted with was the lack of political awareness and the fact that this was the road, the avenue with which they were going to like bring about, you know, any kind of changes, social changes to meet the needs of those people who were disenfranchised in the past. To give you a history of Cesar Chavez and his efforts to organize poor people, I'd like to go back to give you a background as to like where Cesar began and his ideas about the people, poor people, and how he realized that they needed to like be part of the action as the group, as a group within the whole structure. Cesar was born in Yuma, Arizona. His father had some land, was a farmer, and during the Depression, he lost his land. Cesar's father lost his land, and so they migrated into Brawley, California, where Cesar and his, you know, his family, his father, became migrant workers, you know, going across the state, picking, you know, fruit, following the crop. During this time, Cesar got married, and he himself came into like did some sharecropping. And all this time he had, you know, he had a feeling that poor people were in the predicament that they had no future in their lives because of the fact that they were dependent upon the desires of those growers for whom they work. He had a concern about these people, about, you know, like the needs of the people and how they were being exploited economically, and so he got into like working for a service organization called the CSO, which was their idea was to like meet the needs of the poor community. They were concerned basically with meeting, understanding that poor people had no rights because they were not citizens of the society of the United States. And working with CSO, he began to understand that they had to like in order for them to like learn where the power lied, they needed to register the workers in, you know, across the state. This was had to be done by bringing in the people to like becoming citizens, to registering, to like vote. And this was basically the whole objectives of the community service organization, of meeting the needs of the community, for community within the state. They dealt a lot with police brutality among the poor community.
Patrick, what does Caesar have to do with us?
Well, the whole idea is that Cesar, at the beginning, when he began to work with CSO, was concerned about the fact that the reason poor people did not have the power to force legislation to meet some of their urgent needs. He set out to organize those people. For example, the farm workers, which he was concerned about. His concern was that by organizing poor people, and this evolved all segments of the poor community, like the farm workers, which was the first people that he was concerned about. But he also understood and knew that elderly people were also being deprived of their rights as human beings. And his whole effort was to organize, the poor to turn on to the political their political needs to apply the pressure on those who were responsible for delegating services or needs.
I thought he was in the farm workers.
Yes, he was also, but at the same time he was concerned about the total poor people in the state. Okay. While he was working for CSO, him and Dolores Huerta were into bringing about poor people and this affected the elderly. Like they worked for like 8 years to like bring about, apply pressure to the state to like pass a law that would bring the old age pension for the elderly people in the community. He also worked to like bring the program aid to family dependent children. He fought for and brought into existence the law which would guarantee disability for the farm workers. So all of a sudden he is concerned about meeting the needs of poor people, and his idea was to like work in organizing poor people and making them recognize that they need to come together, organize, and form a pressure group a political entity of poor people to like apply the pressure on the state level officials or politicians. So let them recognize, make them recognize that they have to be responsive to our needs. And he knew that the way people would learn know, to organize and become aware of the fact of their responsibilities to become politically aware and to organize around, you know, that fact that, you know, politics, registering people, registering to vote, working hard to vote registration drive was, you know, the means with which they could, like, apply the pressure to these people, to the politicians who were responsible, you know, who were responsible in determining, you know, the lifestyles that the poor people would live. He had worked for CSO, and when he recognized the rank and file of the CSO members were, you know, the working class, but that the leaders of CSO were not being responsive to poor people because of the fact that they, you know, they were the, you know, the leaders were not really that, you know, like the rank and file worker, and were the middle class, you know, people who were concerned about playing sort of just like meeting. This is really heavy. Okay. The whole idea was that.
Tracy, I still don't understand what this has to do with us.
Okay. Okay. You know, like I was saying, Cesar, you know, began to recognize that he wasn't going to get, you know, the leadership of CSO to be responsive towards the needs of poor people. He was concerned, basically because of the fact that he himself was a farm worker and had gone through the, you know, the suffering that farm workers go through. He was concerned about meeting their needs. Although in his mind, he had this idea that he wanted, you know, poor people to be recognized politically so that they could begin to like demand from the government, you know, respect and appreciation for the fact that they do exist and do deserve a right to be dealt, you know, with as human beings and who have specific needs and that they need to like be to pass laws that will be responsive to their needs. Now, your question as to how, you know, how his efforts and his you know, ideas affect you. Come about in that. Because you know, Cesar spent time with the farm workers and organizing the farm workers, and his whole his early history of organizing farm workers and bringing them about, you know, making them aware of the fact that through a united front, they could like, you know, apply the pressure on the growers who had control over their lives, through recognizing that the farm workers had a certain, you know, had needs to be met. You know, they were being treated as humans who did not have to have, you know, the basic rights, you know, the living conditions, the decent wages for their work. They, you know, they went about, you know, they realized that, you know, through this united front, they could apply pressure. They decided, well, okay, we are treated as subhumans. You know, we are not treated decently. You know, our living conditions are terrible. Our working conditions are terrible. The owners, the growers are not being responsive to our needs. You know, we have no rights as workers. You know, we have no security. We have no benefits, health benefits, and this whole idea of organizing people around these issues. And going through the whole process of meeting with individual groups throughout the state, talking about these problems, the health problems, the wage problems, the living conditions in which they had to like live.
Patrick,
yes.
I've never worked in the fields, but I read the newspapers, and I don't understand why what you're coming around to, because see, from what I understand, Cesar Chavez is a very busy man right now, because he lost all his contracts to the Teamsters, and, you know, he's getting fought all over the place, and I don't see, you know, what you would even be interested in why are you interested in old people?
Okay, now the farm workers, the United Farm Workers struggle to survive politically has been a long one. They started off back in 1965 when they decided that the way they were going to get, their needs met was to apply the pressure on the grower. So they organized to strike.
Well, why is he interested in us?
Because you are a part of the poor community, okay? And his whole ideas was to bring about. Political recognition to poor people. This includes, the elderly, includes the farm workers. Okay. Now he has been concentrating since the beginning of his union on meeting the needs of the farm worker. Okay. They've gone through strikes. They've gone through economic boycotts of the products of growers. Gallo Wines, which was one of the richest growers in the world, and who have deplorable living conditions for its workers, they have conducted and is still in the process. The boycott against Gallo Wines is still in the process, and at this time. They are winning, and they are very, very close to winning, and they are coming about. He has come about to realize that now his dream, of organizing poor people, the time. Point in time is that he can now, because of the fact that the farm workers have gained that political power which we talked about. He's saying, okay, his idea at the beginning when he first started, coming into was his whole idea of organizing people and fighting for their rights as human beings to be represented, their needs met. His idea has come about, the farm workers are very close to winning, and you say, okay, now There are other people in the community, such as the elderly people, like yourselves, who spend their lives, lonely lives at home with no one to say, hey, you know, we have a specific problem, so that we have to experience or go through. We have problems in that Social Security is not being that responsive to towards us. You know, because of the bureaucracy, many times we spend weeks and months without receiving the Social Security old age pension money that we are receiving. Okay, we have elder people have problems with housing. You know, many people have.
Why don't I get some coffee before we continue? Okay, would you like some coffee? Would you like some coffee?
That would be fun.
Oh, get it? Well, you were starting to go off into the service part two of this thing. But I think that you need to get a better idea of what the history of service centers are, and to combine the history of the CSO and the idea of service centers with, CSER moving out of that and into organizing farm workers, and then moving out of, now that the farm workers are winning back their, the whole history, the whole working condition thing, and then how come now he wants to go back into organizing older people?
I don't think you need to have the history of CSER, when he was born and how he moved to Berlin, but just start with CSO.
See, part of the thing is we use CSER as a CSER's the leader of the union, but we're not especially trying to organize people for CSER. To a certain extent, if you're talking to people who aren't farm workers, then you've got to get them to understand where CSER's coming from, so that they'll understand why the farm workers union is even interested in organizing older people. But it's more to, so they'll have an idea of what an organization would do for older people. What's the history of organizations that move for poor people into the union and the CSO?
And also, I think that you shouldn't use terms like politicized and disenfranchised and those kind of words, because I don't think the people are going to relate to them.
Some people will. It depends on who you're talking to, okay? On the types of work, because talk to people who've been in the union for a long time, or who were involved in CSO and stuff like that, they'll understand what those words mean.
Do you mean to disenfranchise from those?
Yeah, I think that could be used in the audience. Yeah. Depends on whether there are some older people that I know that are old union people, not necessarily farm workers union, but went through the struggles in the 30s and have been political activists essentially for a number of years, a lot longer than any of us. And they could respond to
something. Yeah, it would really depend on. I guess I usually think in terms of my area where people really have never been organized. I don't know, maybe I'm just judging, but I kind of doubt that very many of the older people are even politicized in that area. So if you use a word like that, I think, most of them just wouldn't know what you're talking about.
I thought it was very good that Captain started out and introduced himself. Mm-hmm. I wasn't here when you started.
Yeah, the little business about it.
Remember to ask your to shoot around.
But he did forget to introduce himself. I had to ask for his name.
Oh,
and then he didn't have us introduce ourselves.
He introduced himself, but we didn't introduce ourselves. I thought another good thing that you did before you got into the history of the CSO and stuff, you kind of laid out a little bit about why you were here,
right.
You know, and organizing political organizations, why, you know, the whole idea of this thing. And you did a pretty smooth transition from that into the CSO, except, sorry, with Caesar. But for a lot of people, they're not going to understand why you're going from political organizations to a history of when Caesar was born and stuff like that.
Actually, you three sat like thumbs on the log, for the most part, and I don't think that's natural.
I think I should have asked a question.
And I've been living in a situation where everybody's sitting around, you're going to interrupt, you're going to ask a question, you're not going to sit there and transfixed and speechless.
I wasn't particularly inspired to ask a question. When you notice that you're only getting off a little bit to the side, you should have brought him back again. Yeah, I was thinking that most, a lot of old people, you know, if the thing's not dealing with them, they stop you. Yeah, they'll stop you right away. Because even when I made that, when I went around asking people how they'd like to have a union, the first question I would ask was, what does it have to do with us? What can you do for us?
He gave a good response there. He said, you're part of the cool community.
Yeah, I think we've been using the word older people and they. We have a direct and direct
right. Yeah.
You to the persons here.
Yeah, that's right.
And when he said, you are the poor community, brings it back.
I think he's got the same problem with kind of getting into one subject too much. And you just keep on getting into the same subject, and then you get into it again.
Right.
And you do it again.
Yeah, it gets repetitive.
And you can't, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, I think we both of us need that
outline.
Even if we have to sit there with the outline, you know, just one point, a few examples, and the next point, a few examples, and the next point, and just have it all in a logical succession. So that we
don't
have
to bring up hard to ask questions. When you kept on going back.
The problem is, you know, like, the question is, what is this, you know, the farm workers issue have to do with poor people? And trying to relate, that really hit me. Because,
yeah, but see, I don't think we need to be on the defensive. I don't think we need to explain away our presence. I think, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to organize poor people. God knows there's enough of them in this goddamn country. We're in a depression right now.
And if they think it's Caesar's idea, they already understand what Caesar has done before with the farm workers. They know that if anybody can do anything, he can. That's the reaction I got. People that didn't know about Caesar and about farm workers were the ones that hesitated and asked the most questions. The ones that already knew about the farm workers and about Caesar just asked, gee, you know, how's it going to start, or sounds like a good idea, or, you know, what's it going to do?
See, our telling about the farm workers and CSO is as a kind of a point of information, really. But I think our whole approach should be one of, we should be aggressive. You know, we're not here to defend ourselves. We're here to attack the goddamn government. We're here to attack, you know, what's going on in this country. And what's happening to the people we're talking to. Let's do something about it. You know? And here's how we can do something about it. Look what this group has done. Farm workers were in the same position, and look what they did about it. Well, we can do it too.
Yeah. It's hard for me to give a speech, really.
It's hard for all of us.
You know, but yeah, really hang with me because I'm not relating to people as human beings. I'm there to like present a speech to them.
Yeah, because when you talk to an elderly person that you're already close to, you want to pour your warmth on her, and she has confidence in you, or he, and you just automatically go into these, you know, they'll give you questions, and you give them answers, and they're like this, you know, and it just automatically comes out. It's different when you actually.
When you have to think, it's different.
Yeah.
I'm not a good thinker.
Because, I mean, the way things have happened, like people that have come into the service center, God, as soon as you get that feeling inside, you know, and you get it from them and they get it from you, especially when you see that, God, these people really got like a lot of guts or they've really struggled already through their lives. They're already 63 years old and still working, they're still struggling, and there's still injustices are still being committed on them. And you get this warm feeling, so they want to pour more to you, and you want to ask them more, and it's a mutual feeling. It just goes back and forth. You just can't play act that. It's so real when you actually come to it.
Yeah.
That, you don't have to pretend nothing is there.
I agree. That's been my problem. I guess the way it was first presented to me, the whole Poor People's Union, and the last meeting we were at, was if we don't organize the rest of the poor people, then we're not going to make it. I mean, it was a self-interest thing. The way it was presented to me in the beginning was, we've got a union and we're winning, but if we don't have the rest of the people, we're not going to make it, so we have to organize the rest of the people. And I get the feeling that we're using, I can't get that feeling
it's
out of
it. It's because we don't want them to cross our picket lines, or we want them on our picket lines.
When I spoke to people, and I told them, what Caesar's idea was, and of course I spoke to the friendly ones first to get their reaction, and they thought it was good. And I said, do you know of other people that would be interested? People that you know are in need? And they would say, yeah. And they look at each other, how about Mr. So-and-so? And how about Mr. So-and-so? And they just thought about that they all had the same common problems. And I just presented it to them as a union for retired people and older people in need. I didn't use any certain term.
What we're doing here, in a sense, is we're starting with the farm workers and trying to somehow relate the old people into that. Instead, we should be starting with the old people and what their problems are, what their needs are, and here's the way it's been done.
Using the farm workers' efforts as an example as to how they can become political and organize to meet their needs.
Yeah, but I don't think we have to say we want to organize with poor people.
I think we should just talk to them
about the service center and about their problems, and we've helped a lot of them during the summer anyway. I mean, the migrant camps, there's old people there too, and we did a lot to help them in the summer.
We want an organization. We want an organization, and we want committees.
I would say interested people, but not an organization in 2 months.
No, we can't.
We're organizing to use people to help the United Farm Workers. That wasn't presented to you guys. That was presented by Caesar. What we're doing is expanding our services to include people.
Reopening Caesar's idea.
Poorer than the farm workers under contract. The farm workers under contract aren't the people most in need of service centers, most in need of studies, most in need of credit unions, retirement village. Once farm workers are under contract, they're going to have a good income. And they are going to need the services we have built up and developed everywhere, the network services.
There are two things wrong with that. First of all, it makes it sound like, Caesar's organized farm workers is getting bored with that, so now he's going to go lay his trip on somebody else.
No, I don't see it.
And the other thing is that the emphasis then is on the services. Here we are, where another social welfare worker comes to save you. And the emphasis has to be on people organizing themselves and doing things.
I think Fred explained it pretty clearly, because we can use the example of the non-citizens getting the pension and how it was come about. You use that example and it shows you what 10 people can do, and one can't do. And I think using the term reopening Caesar's idea that he had when he left CSO, which was to Debon worked with the elderly who were in such need at that time, as you are. He's going back to that original idea that he met with after having helped the homeless, because at that time the homeless were much closer and needed help much more. And like right now, he's reopening that idea.
But Caesar also said in the last meeting that I was at that we can't isolate ourselves. We can't just become a farm worker union and handle farm worker problems and have a farm worker clinic. We have to step out of that hole and include other people that are poor too if we want to survive. Because he compared us with the longshore, where they've isolated themselves completely in their own clinic and their own district and their own area and have their own members. And they don't know what the hell is going on in the ghetto. So, in a way, you can say that we are going out there. We need them. They not only need us and our services, but we need them to survive too. Because just like Caesar said, the farm workers are going to get to the point where they're going to be making good bread and they're going to have damn good benefits and seniority and everything. And then the poor people, like welfare mothers and senior citizens and all that, they're going to be down to the level where the farm workers were at. And if we don't go back now and try to pull them up a little bit along with us, it's going to be really hard to go back and organize.
See, we know that, but I'm not sure that's the approach to you. Somehow that seems backwards. It seems a little convoluted.
No, I'm just saying that's what Caesar was saying.
You know, because that makes it seem like our organizing drive is based on our need.
Right.
Our need to keep from withering and dying.
You're not going to say that, of course.
But when you talk about our need, when you talk about La Causa, is La Causa just for farm workers? Isn't there a broader base for La Causa than just farm workers anyway?
It's always had been. That's what holds it together, is the unity of all peoples. And if you can bring this out into the community among all types of people and all ages, it would be just that much greater.
Yeah.
It's never
been just a farm worker thing, because the boycott is what's made the union go, and the boycott is, you know, the consumer, the housewife. So it's always been, people from different,
Well, we can, we have services that we can get to people with. It's what we're using on the date for this thing, okay?
Right.
And getting them, and we're saying that they're going to organize around community needs and stuff like this. But to me, it is unclear. Like, I wasn't up here at the last meeting when Ben came back and told me about this thing, I just kept on saying, but what are we organizing for? What are we organizing
for?
And then, we had a discussion last night after the meeting, and getting down to the real basics of, what we're organizing for is the vote, because farm workers, most of them aren't citizens, so they're not going to vote. And
I think they all live together.
It's good, it's really good to go out and help people get new legislation and all this kind of stuff. But
that legislation.
But the thing is, it's okay. We're going to build an older people's organization. But at this point, it really looks like it's going to be just as a tool for the union. Okay? Because, it's going to go by the constitution and bylaws of the union. It'll be a semi-independent organization that totally,
they can't run it. I got the impression last night.
It's going to be a responsibility of the service center.
Right,
besides all the other responsibilities that we have.
When you develop an organization, another thing that you're trying to do is, make people self-sufficient, independent, develop their own leadership, all these types of things.
Maybe, but it's healthy to question it.
Yes,
it's very healthy. One of the reasons why I haven't been able to get up there in that goddamn chair and do a better job is because I'm not sold on it yet. I'm confused on it, okay? And maybe if you want to call me down, that's fine. I am down, okay? All right? The thing is that I just, even last night when I went to bed, Al was sound asleep and I just sat there on the sofa and I thought, God, what is it that they want? I just don't have it. And I even practiced it on Bob. Bob said, let me practice on you. Let me try to figure out what it is they want me to sell, The service center. They want me to sell the service center. That's what they want. They want me to sell the service center.
You're already selling every day.
And no, I know it, but I'm talking about something else, Minnie. I'm not talking about the service center. I'm talking about organizing senior citizens or pensioners or whatever they are. And I'm just confused and tired.
And I think it's very helpful for us to question this, because it's the only way that we're going to be able to get out what's in here and get some answers resolved, and then we'll be able to go back and do a better job.
I don't think we're ever going to be able to have a forceful presentation and really turn people on until we start with where they're at and forget that we're farm workers and that we're working with the farm workers.
Right.
We're out to organize for people.
Right. This, you know, like, my thing is, you know, relating or tying in, explaining to the people, for the old elderly people.
No, it's not just you, Pat. I mean, that the whole thing here has been geared in that direction.
Yeah.
And so we start thinking primarily about those three people sitting there and get mad about their situation and relate to that situation instead of relating to union history and whatever. And really,
this is
our first concern.
Well, that's one thing that bothers me about asking them to participate with the boycott, because it doesn't seem to me that, that is assuming that there's solidarity among poor people, and that solidarity doesn't necessarily exist. So maybe, like, if you're talking to old farm workers, well, sure, you know, then they'd be into it, and they'd want to help with the boycott. But if I go out to Linda or Oliver's, these two poor areas near Marysville, where it's mostly, like, we call them Okies, that's probably because we're prejudiced.
Right.
People, you know, they don't like Mexicans.
They throw me out the door.
And, you know, if we ask them, will you help us with the boycott? You know, I just can't, I'm not convinced that that's going to, you know.
Right.
But,
you
know,
You know, something like that is something that's been a problem with the service centers all along, is the service centers tend to think of themselves as autonomous social agencies within the union. Okay, and we're here to help people, rather than seeing it within the total picture of what the union is. And that has been a problem ever since September of 73 when we started them up again. And the field office directors would come up here every few months and just yell and scream about how the service centers in their areas weren't doing anything, they weren't getting the people out on the field lines. You know, they were helping people, sure, they have tons of people coming in to help us.
That's been a problem since Dolores started service centers.
Okay, but see,
that was a problem with CSO.
Right, but what we've got to develop within this thing is some way, we are working with the union, because we'll be organizing this older people's thing, but we're also going to be doing that service center work every day.